Welcome to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about city issues this morning. We welcome back to the program Karen Hedout, the Economic Development and Tourism Director for the city. Karen, good morning. It's been too long since you've been here.
It has been a while, Ted. I'm so glad you're here.
So we
great to see you.
We have. I'm glad to be here. And we've got lots to talk about. Boy, the city just looks, in all kinds of ways, the downtown area especially, looks really good right now.
It does. I think you see progress on any number of fronts. Our Main Street program is doing a super job. We see a lot of private investment, and I think just the pride that we all have had in our city is just magnified when other people join in the efforts, and that's what we're seeing right now. It's really good.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if it's me or if it's reality, but it seems like there's more people. It just seems to be more people downtown. And even some of the off times, just walking around.
I agree. And I'll also say that we don't have as many off times as we used to because more shops are staying open longer. You know, the Main Street program mm-hmm. had a very successful open late program for the Friday evenings in the holiday season last year. And a lot of stores have opted to continue that program. You'll see the yellow flags flying virtually any Friday and a lot of other days of the week now. So that's some strength, and it's recognition of what our market is asking for. And it's also building on the traffic that so many new and very good restaurants are helping build in the downtown in the evening hours.
I thought the flags were a really good idea because it seemed like at least three or four times a year, you and I would have the conversation about, and with anybody who's downtown, about businesses that weren't open and that kind of thing. And that the flags just showed then businesses who'd made that commitment, and a lot of them have kept that up.
It's very visual, you're right, and it helps. It's an automatic cue that there's activity here. I was very pleased. The Open Late initiative was originally directed at retail, which you can understand would be a focus. But some restaurants have now approached Main Street and said, hey, you know, we're open in the evenings too, and wouldn't it be nice if we could have our flags out? I think a lot of people assume we're open for dinner, but to have that much more mass, that critical mass of yellow flags just happily saying, hey, we're open, downtown is open for business, is a great cue, another good signal to the vibrancy that we're seeing.
Karen Hedout with the city with us this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Summer Restaurant Week is coming up, and I can't believe that it's the fifth year for Summer Restaurant Week.
Yes, it is. And we've had a super response to that. You know, a lot of communities have a restaurant week during the winter months when things are slow. And a Summer Restaurant Week, there is a kind of a need to boost restaurant sales in some of those weeks of the summer, though not as much as we once had. But it's also a time when there's a lot of fresh local products available, mm-hmm. great produce to use from our region, and a lot of restaurants are very cued into using that. So we are kicking that event off in July on the 30th, Thursday, July 30th, with our sandwich invitational that you remember from last year, Ted. Love that thing.
I remember the sandwich invitational. I still have my press pass from that. I want to put it in a frame sometime that it was the first. The sandwich invitational was just a great idea. It was it brought people out on a Thursday night to Herkamp Park, and it was a great time.
It was a wonderful time. It was really brought to us by Beth Black and Joy Crump that operate Foodie and now Mercantile on William Street. Just a neat program where restaurants join in the effort, and they create a wonderful sandwich for the public to sample. I think we all had quarters of about 15 different restaurant sandwiches. And it sounds like a lot, and it was a lot. But they were so darn good, you didn't want to miss any of them. And we had live entertainment, and it was just a really nice evening out in Hurricane Park. We're especially excited that Main Street has taken this program over this year. We're supporting them, of course, to help kick off Restaurant Week, but they're going to use it as a fundraiser, and I think it's a really viable path for additional funds for all the good programs that they have, and a natural partnership because the restaurants are so key to the viability of our downtown.
So when is the Sandwich Invitational?
Okay. It's that Thursday evening, July 30th, from 6 until 9 p.m. in Hurricane Park. Tickets will be on sale in advance. We'll get information out to you. I don't think they've settled on their ticket price yet, but tickets will be available in advance. And if you recall, they sold out last year.
I was going to say that. I thought so.
Yeah. Last year, we had 250 tickets available for sale, and this year they plan to increase that amount, and but I still expect it to be a sellout. So many people enjoyed it last year, and so many people were disappointed when they didn't get their tickets last year. I think it's going to be popular once again, and I really encourage everybody who, hey, do you like to eat? to pay attention, because it was a wonderful event.
Well, it was great, because, and you described it well, of where you can sample a lot of things, and I tried things from different places that I had heard of before, but actually had never gone, and thought, oh, if that's the kind of stuff they had, I'd like to do that.
Right, right. And they were just so wildly creative. I thought that was a really neat perspective to have on some of the chefs. You know, where a restaurant might have a certain type of cuisine, this gave them an opportunity to be a little outside the box. Last Friday morning, as you may not know, was Friday last week was National Donut Day. So
yes,
I felt obliged
right.
to go
well,
by Paul's and pick up donuts for my staff and some folks over at City Hall. And I ran into Neil Glancy there, and he said, hey, I want to be in the Sandwich Invitational this year. I want to do a sandwich on a donut. So I bet he's thinking about Ooh. Something sweet and salty or crunchy, and who knows what he's going to come up with, but I think it just sounds like fun.
Well, it was fun, and it was competitive.
Yeah.
Because, and that's, I think, what makes it really good, because everyone's wanting to put their best foot forward, but they want to win.
Absolutely. There's good prize money, and certainly a good amount of bragging rights attached to it. And I understand there's already a little bit of friendly smack talk amongst the downtown restaurants and chefs. So I think that competition, their passion for food, all combines to help it make a really neat event.
Well, and I remember you describing, because, and we had this conversation a couple of times last summer about get your tickets
right.
early. And I remember you talking last year about it, that even if it was expanded, it could only be expanded so much, because they got to make all these sandwiches beforehand.
Right. Those restaurants, you know, they're not huge institutional kitchens that they have limitless capacity. There are some logistics involved to their producing sandwiches for them to arrive at the proper temperature, be safe for the public to eat. So, you know, we won't be able to expand it astronomically through the years. It's always going to be a relatively small number of attendees, still a coveted ticket and worth paying attention to and getting your hands on very early.
Yeah, and just the other fact that it's at Hurricane Park, you don't want too many people.
No. It wasn't overly crowded last year. It certainly felt very friendly.
Yes.
Saw a lot of folks you knew, could socialize. The live entertainment was good, and nice compliment to just a beautiful evening. We had worried about the possibility of storms or anything. It turned out to be just a great night and one to remember. We invited some other couples to join us, and we just had a wonderful time comparing the sandwiches and kind of personally picking our favorites, and then kind of pointing out why you were right and your other dinner partner was probably not right. And, you know, it was very friendly, funny, and something I look forward to attending this year.
Yep. July 30th, 6 to 9 at Herkamp Park. And when all the information on tickets go on sale, I bet tickets don't hang around long.
No, they won't. And I will hope that Ann Glave, the director of Main Street, and Brian Lamb, who's working on this directly, as well as Beth or Joy, can talk to you about it closer to time.
Yeah.
Because I would expect a rush on tickets, and people want to be aware.
And so it's something everyone's going to want to participate in again in July 30th. And so then that kicks off Restaurant Week then, that is
right.
The first week in August?
So that's Thursday night, the last Thursday night in July. And then Friday night, July 31st, begins Restaurant Week that lasts through August 9th. So, you know, a 10-day span there. We are already getting great sign-ups from our restaurants. When we first started Restaurant Weeks, we had to kind of beg and cajole our restaurants to join in, but we get automatic turnaround from our restaurants now. They recognize the value of it, not just in sales, but in bringing new customers to them, mm-hmm. and showing them what they can do, developing a long-term customer out of that, and just the joint marketing and promotion that they benefit from our office.
Well,
so it's going to be a $20 prefix menu at these restaurants, or for restaurants with a lower price point, they can do a 2 for $20. So you'll see lunch and dinner specials. They're going to be posted on Visit Fred in advance of Restaurant Week, visitfred.com. People can go and peruse menus and kind of develop their strategy. I've had some people kind of make it their mission to march through and go out each night of Restaurant Week.
Yeah.
To sample as many as possible.
Well, I didn't know that the menus and that kind of thing were on visitfred.com.
Right.
So that's a great help.
There's at least 50% representation. Mm-hmm. Some restaurants are changing daily, so it's a little bit more problematic, but it's a lot of fun to see.
Got a couple more food questions. We'll continue this on when we come back. Karen Hedelt, the Economic Development and Tourism Director for the city here. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Hedelt, the Economic Development and Tourism Director for the city here this morning. We were talking about the Sandwich Invitational on July 30th and the Summer Restaurant Week. And Karen, in recent years, food has become a big issue when you talk about economic development and tourism. Places like Foodie and some of these other places are bringing people here just for them.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you bring that up, Ted, because just last week, Governor McAuliffe invited Beth Black and Joy from Foodie to a press conference where he announced tourism statistics from last year, and it showed a 4% increase mm-hmm. in tourism spending. And a lot of that was in culinary, our restaurants, wineries, breweries, and the experience of food in many ways, farmers markets and specialty foods. So it's something that we have always had a strong core of in Fredericksburg, and we're realizing based on the state's research that it's something we can and should be building on. So we've made special efforts in our tourism marketing and public relations efforts to highlight our great food and drink in our region, and it's paying off. And it's been interesting to see you were aware of the culinary madness during the NCAA championships, where Virginia pits restaurants' favorite dishes against other restaurants' dishes throughout the state, and it narrows from a field of 64 down to the one championship dish. And of course, the chicken and waffle dish at Foodie was the winner. Beth and Joy have had a great thing going for a long time, but good PR builds other good PR, and Fredericksburg is being recognized for being a great dining town. Other restaurants are getting a notice. Foodie was included in a list of top 12 restaurants in the state of Virginia, among the likes of the Inn at Little Washington. Excellent representation.
Yeah.
They continue to do good things. We've got additional development of more restaurants underway. We've had a few open recently. Of course, you see the construction on Sedona Tap House underway in the William Street corridor. I think Liberty Place is recruiting hard for some additional restaurants in their space. We had Mercantile open about a month ago, not quite a month ago. Cork and Table came to Caroline Street from Warsaw, where they operated Northern Nut Gourmet. Excellent local produce. I'm looking actually forward to having dinner there tonight with some friends. Very good product there. Of course, we opened Spencer Devon Brewery earlier this year. They're doing a great with their combination of an excellent kitchen and their brews that they've brought to the city. And of course, we've got other things like this chocolate shop Sweets on Caroline and other things in development. An announcement yesterday of Fahrenheit 123 opening in the William Street corridor, and Luigi Castiglia is working on plans to bring a rooftop deck to Castiglia's restaurant. So a lot more capacity, building the vibrancy that we're all looking forward to, and really an important aspect of our tourism product. Heritage tourism is always the core of our focus, but these additional things that we're adding, culinary, the arts, outdoors, are all important to a younger demographic that we need to support as well. And we're seeing business development that targets them as well. River Rock Outfitters has been a great partner, an example of that.
Well, in all of this, and the food really helps keep people around longer.
Right, right. Some people make special trips to Fredericksburg. You know, the people that are coming specifically for chicken and waffles is astounding. Joy was joking to Beth recently, maybe we just need to open a chicken and waffles restaurant. That's all we do, because, you know, it's they have such good product otherwise, but the attention that chicken and waffles has gotten has driven that demand. So it is something that really is building upon itself.
I guess sometime I should try it, but I have never tried chicken and waffle. And people that have it just say it's fantastic. But to me, I look at the two and I think
it just seems so odd. And
yeah.
Honest to God, Ted, I didn't have it until earlier this year during Culinary
yeah.
Madness, when there was a media event in Richmond. It just seems so odd to
yes.
me. But man, I've had a couple times to have it since, and every time I have a chance, I get those things.
Okay.
It's a good waffle. The chicken is excellent, and I think the corker is the maple syrup is has this underlying tone of rosemary. She steeps rosemary in the maple syrup, and you just get this nice subtle hint of that.
Okay.
It's crunchy, sweet. It's just a really nice mix that seems so odd. It's like, you know, trail mix in the sweet and crunchy and it's just really good.
Okay,
really, honest to God. Would I lie to you?
No, you would not. And that's what, and everybody has said that, and I keep thinking, don't think I want it. Let me just put it off for a little bit more.
Well, and I'm not sure how I can get you some, because they have a capacity, evidently, to make about 60 dishes at
yeah.
Foodie on Saturday and Sunday mornings. Then did you? They also have it for lunch on Wednesdays. But, I mean, that's their capacity. When they sell out, and
yeah.
poor disappointed people, they go, wait, well, they're chicken and waffles.
Well, maybe we'll do it. We'll do lunch sometime on a Wednesday.
There you go.
We'll go and do lunch.
Quality control, Ted.
that's right. Karen Edelt here, the economic development and in tourism director here this morning on Town Talk and News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's interesting, as you went through all some of the new places coming in and looking at what you've had. I remember when you were here, I don't know, it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, whenever the Butcher came in.
Right.
And that was kind of one of the first kind of little bit different kind of thing. And I remember you saying, we'll see how that you know, how that is accepted. And that's been accepted.
Oh, my goodness.
Big time. And that seemed to kind of get things going with a lot of different, kind of out of the ordinary of what we had been seeing downtown.
Yeah, very much so. I think they definitely identified a demand for quality there, personal service. It also fed into the culinary category, and their product is represented at some of our other restaurants in downtown Fredericksburg, and it's really a nice fit. The strength I see in that is when I was talking with somebody last week, lives out near Spotsylvania Courthouse. Drove from home last Saturday and came into downtown to go to Old Town Butcher to get the type of cut of meat they wanted to put on the grill that night. You know, that shows a strong business customer relationship that we might have had, you know, years and years and years ago, but it went away, but now it's coming back, and it seems to be just as successful as it once was.
And you think about places like that, or just even some of the restaurants we've talked about. The restaurants downtown are definitely different than what you see in the outlying areas and in the counties. They've gotten a lot more places, but not quite
right.
As there's a different feel to what's in the city right now.
Right. I think I've been impressed to watch the evolution through the years. I think our restaurateurs coming in now, by and large, have education and training in the field. They're not hobbyist cookers like I would be if I tried to open a restaurant. They really know what they're doing. They watch trends. They're daring and innovative. And it gives our restaurant scene the special flair that helps build the respect that when we are recognized in the Metro D.C. area as a place to go get a fine meal.
Yeah, and when that has happened, when the Washington Post has recommended things, or even some of the D.C. TV stations.
Right,
It's nice for Fredericksburg.
It builds. You know, I've got friends in Northern old college friends, and I saw some of them recently, and they said, wow, what's going on with Fredericksburg and all the places to eat down there? And they'd read about Beth and Joy, and, you know, it's just great to talk about and to be able to invite them down so we can all go out and experience a little on their own.
Yeah. VisitFred.com has lots of stuff of the things we're talking about this morning. VisitFred.com. Karen Hedelt from the city here. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg. A Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Karen Hedelt, the Economic Development and Tourism Director for the City of Fredericksburg here this morning. One of the things that I think is when we talk about how good it looks downtown, and it's just a little tiny thing, but the plants, those
the planters at intersections.
Yeah, when they did that last year, when Main Street started that, boy, that adds a lot.
It does. A little color, and it shows the care that the community has. It just shows, I don't know, it just makes us look a little better tended and manicured, I think, for some reason. They pay really good attention to them. They're watering them daily.
Yeah.
They're very healthy. I mean, the only thing that would be worse than not having them is for them to be there and look bad.
Yeah, dried out.
So, but no, they're very healthy. They have a great group of volunteers that came a couple of weeks ago, I guess just before Memorial Day weekend, and replanted them. And I noticed them myself, how great they look, and that splash of color is really nice.
Yeah.
One of the early initiatives, Main Street. And it's visual, and it just kind of helps everybody's perception.
Whenever Ann and Scarlett come in and talk about things, because I remember the days when you or Richard from your office would come in and talk about this was our hope of what, you know, what Main Street mm-hmm. could be. And boy, it really has,
yeah.
has blossomed.
Right. The, you know, we had long seen where we needed a downtown management structure that had a permanent paid director. We had a very earnest group of merchants in the past that one of their own was the head of the organization from year to year. And when you're running your own business, it's a lot to ask somebody to commit that amount of time to another organization.
Yeah.
And the Main Street program just has so much infrastructure to it, guidance and help and focus for you, that it's been wonderful to see this group stand up. Our Economic Development Authority was very instrumental in conceiving that, researching it, and doing some of the early funding. So I think they're initiative has paid off, and Scarlett and Ann and the entire board are taking it along in a very logical, progressive way. Not yeah. Great to see.
Yeah, definitely. I guess one of the things for you for on both the economic development and tourism side, having the roads all torn up with all this work has to be something that you just cringe at, but it doesn't seem like, I mean, it seems like everybody's getting around. And I mean, I know I see all the alerts and then I leave here and decide I'm going to go somewhere. And all of a sudden you turn a corner and there they are.
Yeah.
But you kind of make do.
Right. You know, we had a lot of work done in the past couple of years with a major infrastructure improvement by Columbia Gas. And the Main Street Group has worked very hard with the city's Public Works Department to minimize the impact on downtown travel. And they finished up. We heaved this huge sigh of relief when they were to pave William Street earlier yeah. this spring and be done with it. And gosh darned if they didn't have this water pump issue that is necessitated the 1,000 block of Princess Anne Street to be torn up. But they were sensitive enough to realize we should do this work at night. So
yeah.
the construction is taking place at night. Travel lanes are open. It looks a little rugged in there, but at least we're able to pass through there now. So hopefully we'll be able to check that last thing off and have free-flowing traffic. I was in a staff meeting earlier this week, and there is a lot of public works activity going on throughout the city, not just in the downtown, but College Heights and Twin Lakes Drive, different places throughout the city. Our public works director said, if you're not inconvenienced by a public works project this summer, you're not getting out enough. So
that's true. That is true.
There's something going on in all quarters of the city.
But if you get frustrated with that, just go walk on one of the trails. The trails remain just fabulous.
Isn't that the truth? And yeah. I'm real excited. The last leg of the VCR trail, that's the trail that starts over at Cobblestone Square and runs along Lafayette, crosses the Blue Gray, goes through Alum Springs and on out to Route 1. They're working on getting that signal head in place at US 1, so the last leg of the trail will be open and you can cross all
the
way.
So it's going to be this summer?
Yes. They're working on it now. We've got a neat program we'll be debuting when that last leg does open up. Wegmans has this neat program in other communities called the Passport to Family Wellness, and our Parks and Recreation Department will have markers at different points along all the trails in the city, mm-hmm. not just the VCR trail. But and you can take a rubbing of a marking on the passport that you can pick up at their Parks and Rec headquarters on Canal Street. Take a rubbing. When you get a certain number of rubbings, you can turn it in, and you'll get a $5 coupon and a chance to win this great picnic basket from Wegmans, and another prize is a nice water bottle that our office is providing to them. But a neat way to get people out and exploring our trails, and so much investment has been made in them, and they're being so well utilized. I guess because it's so visible, you can see the people along the new Heritage Trail along the river, and I mean, any time of day and night, it seems like there's people out enjoying that.
It does, yeah.
And the VCR trail is beautiful, and I'm really anxious to do that last leg of it.
Oh, I know. I see where it's gated off there over by Idlewild.
And they're just worried about the safety of people crossing. Yeah. Don't want to encourage that. Yeah. But soon enough, that'll be open too.
Good. Well, and the other thing, Doug Fawcett came in before the VCR trail opened last summer, and there was really concern about getting across there at the intersection by the Blue Gray Parkway, but that seems to have gone really well.
Right, I think they've worked very hard to build people's awareness, both the runners and joggers and walkers and bikers that use the trail, as well as traffic in the area, that they need to be cautious and cross with the light. We have a few groups that are starting to use it for casual, non-timed running events, and we'll watch carefully how that goes, and that is done in a safe way as well. But we have a lot of pressure on city streets and trails resources for all sorts of community walks and runs, mm-hmm. charitable organizations that use it as a source of fundraising, and we have more than 40 walks and runs in the city each year. So it becomes a little bit of a logistical challenge to get all those people flowing in a safe manner throughout our town. So it's nice to have additional resources to accommodate that.
There are a lot of things going on this summer as far as events and concerts and just things going on.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, tomorrow, a huge event for the city is the Soapbox Derby. A very popular event, and that will close off William Street from early in the morning till late in the afternoon. Monumental logistical project undertaken by our Parks and Recreation Department, of course, Police and Public Works. Everybody's supporting that event. It's just a kind of a nice retro type event.
It's going to be a nice day. It's going to be a hot day.
Yeah, it'll be a hot day. And that's not unusual. Always seems like they pick the corker days, but you know, I will have people lining the street on William Street, cheering those drivers down. It's a ton of fun.
Oh, it is.
So that's a big day tomorrow. Of course, our farmers market closes off Prince Edward Street every Saturday for a bigger event, lots of fun, summer concerts, Sounds of Summer in Market Square, music every Friday evening, bringing people into the downtown area, a nice complement to the other nice things going on. Celebrate Virginia Live's had some really big names out there already, great schedule of events.
I think everyone but me was at Alabama a few weeks ago.
It seems like it. Everybody,
Facebook, I couldn't believe everybody was there.
Yeah, every time you pop it, there were pictures of the masses out there. Yeah. And people having a good time.
Yeah.
So that's great. Of course, Bluemont returns. We've got concerts on the steps of the library, so lots of musical events. Another neat art event that is taking on a slightly larger role this fall will be Art Attack. That's the open-air art event in the downtown area. Artists creating, you know, painting, molding, sculpting, all sorts of things. That's going to be on Parents Weekend this year. Remember, Via Colori used to be that weekend.
Yes.
When they moved to the spring, Art Attack moved to the Parents Weekend. I think that's going to be interesting. And there's an effort to have a block party at the end of that day up at Liberty Town Arts so that we can have a little music and people can show off what they've done during the day and be an additional attractor for families that are in town for the university events.
That Art Attack is a little bit different than Via Colori, just because Via Colori is just on the streets.
One place, yeah.
But there with Art Attack, you can walk around, and especially different kinds of art that you're interested in, you can see it created.
Right. I find it interesting, and it's so nice to me because you can engage the artist in what they're doing and how they do it, and that personal interaction is such a nice aspect of it. And it truly, like you're saying, you're walking throughout the historic district and you know, seeing and doing and might be dining and shopping while you're at it, but it's just a very pleasant atmosphere.
It's been around forever, but it sure seems like First Fridays still are people talk about in so many. There's just so many opportunities of special things that happen on First Fridays.
It does. It's you know, it started with a small group of art galleries, and it's grown. Our arts commission is now supporting it with trolleys that kind of cycle people throughout the area. It was nice over the winter when it was cold, and if you can have a rainy day or an extremely hot day like it could be here in these summer months, it's just a nice alternative for folks. So it's what people look forward to. They plan around it to meet friends and go to specific openings. They have their favorite galleries they go to week or month after month. So just a really nice organic development that is well supported.
Yeah. We talked earlier about, I talked about how I'd never tried chicken and waffles. The other thing I haven't tried, Itty Bitty City.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. My wife and her friends are addicted to it. I look at it and just think it would just frustrate me incredibly, those just what Itty Bitty City's all about. But, boy, people love that.
You would not believe the people out. You know, I ran into two different groups when I was walking back from a meeting one day earlier this week. And it was really in the mid-90s. And they had those, each of them, it was one group of two ladies and then a group, it looked like a multi-generational family, grandmother, daughter, and maybe granddaughter. And I'm not sure who
And those are usually the people that do well because they each have different areas.
They're looking for, they're comparing, different perspective. But you come to downtown Fredericksburg any day when Itty Bitty City is out, and you will see people seeking out those images.
Yeah.
And it always I can automatically pick out a few, but some confound me. And, Ted, we must be in the same mindset because I just don't have the patience or visualization that I can see all those things.
Because I can look at it and I can say, I know where that is, but I don't know where it is. It's familiar.
Yeah. But the people that will persist, you know, they are motivated by the prizes, which are downtown gift cards this year. But it's just I don't think it's just the prizes. It's the challenge of it.
Yeah.
It's really a creative thing.
Yeah,
that,
it is.
It definitely generates visits and repeat visits, and they're going to solve that thing if it, you know, is the last thing they do.
Yep. Karen Hedelt here from the city. More coming up on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Hedelt, the Economic Development and Tourism Director for the city, is here. Just a few minutes left. I know the city's working on an economic development master plan that's taking place right now. That's pretty important.
Oh, it's very important. It's something that is among the city council's major goals and initiatives for these next 2 years. And just yesterday, we had the deadline for responses to a request for proposals that we issued and have 8 very strong responses. We'll start reviewing them with internally and then with our committee that we assemble for that project. And I think that it's going to be a very intensive time over the next 4 or 5 months to hear from our community and set a vision for what our priorities should be, where the City and Economic Development Authority should be investing time and resources, evaluating what our competitive set is doing, doing a market study, and trying to help build our local business space, as well as try to develop jobs here locally that will serve our local residents.
So this is something get involved in it if you're a city resident and you've got some views on this.
Right. Some people might remember years ago, we did about 10 years ago, we did what was called Jumpstart.
Yeah.
And it was a very engaging public discussion on key corridors and how they might evolve through time for a higher benefit to the city. And it'll be a very similar process to that. And because it was so well done, we did get excellent engagement from the community and a lot of really good thinking. And we're hoping for just the same with the development of the master plan.
And Jumpstart really so many of these times people complain that we talk about these reports and then they end up on a shelf. But Jumpstart, you can go around today and look at areas and say that didn't look like that 10 years ago.
That's right. I think probably the first thing that modeled or was closely modeled on what Jumpstart envisioned, and it was strictly visionary. It wasn't, you have to do this here. It was, this could happen here, was the Eagle Village Project when the University Foundation purchased the 1960s-era shopping center and was redeveloping it. Student housing, commercial, parking, hotel, really very significant increase in value to the city. The property taxes alone are huge, plus other retail generated from it, but just a better representation of our community. You see it in other corridors, Princess Anne Street, and we're seeing it in our downtown with the Liberty Place and Amelia Square developments. All sorts of projects, large and small, that have some basis in the Jumpstart vision.
It's not often that an area, because that was for decades, was Park and Shop. That area was known as that. And anybody who says that now, you date yourself talking about Park and Shop.
It's like calling the hospitality house the Sheraton, and
yeah.
I still do that.
Yes.
But it, you know, it does, you know, it harken to another era.
Yeah, and that area now is Eagle Village.
Yeah, and really. A great representation of our community and the university.
Is the city involved at all with the sale of the Freelance Star property, or have anything involved?
Well, our department is interested in it. Obviously, that's a significant employer, a significant piece of property in the entryway to our historic district. And we are very interested in what happens there as potential purchasers. Brainstorm what they might like to try to do there, what their vision is for it. Our planning department and others will be involved with what happens there. So we hope to retain the employment in the city that is represented there now. But if you think about that block, Ted, the Amelia Street side of the property is the office and the radio station, newspaper office, radio station. The backside was the print facility that is now over in our industrial park.
Yes.
And that was an industrial use in our historic district, not the best use or a desired necessarily use in the historic district. So I think some new vision for that can really be valuable.
We are out of time. We've got more to talk about. You'll have to come back soon. Thank you, Karen.
I will, Ted. Look forward to that.
Karen Edel, Economic Development and Tourism Director for the city. That is it for Town Talk. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.